This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Amen. Father, we thank you for good plans, good seasons ahead. We bless them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that I will go from glory to glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please keep on praying for them. Your prayers make a massive difference. It really does. So whenever people pray for me, I feel very special. Whenever people send me a word or they ask me personally how things are going, I really feel special. So please do that for them. I want you to think about your biggest fear in life. Maybe you have dealt with it. Maybe you are free. Maybe you're not. Maybe it comes from childhood. Maybe it started recently. You know, I remember growing up as a very fearful little girl. My two aunts told my mom they must take me to a psychologist. There's something seriously wrong with this girl. And praise God, my mom just realized, you know, she must give me time and let Jesus work in me. But apart from general fears, I was just scared of the world. I just wanted to be at home. I was terrified of computers. I don't know if anybody relates to me, but maybe they're over 40s or 50s. I was terrified that I'm going to press some button and this thing is going to explode. No jokes. And praise God, I married a guy who's not afraid of technology at all. He taught me everything. You know, I'm now very not afraid anymore. I just restart my computer if it doesn't work. So that I can do. And I was terrified of speaking English. So that was two major fears in my life. And I want you to think about any fear that you're battling with. I want to give you a few ideas. Adam Smith, he's a life coach, motivational speaker. He says there are 10 major fears that hold people back from doing what God wants them to do. The fear of inadequacy, so you're not skilled enough. The fear of uncertainty, the unknown, which I think we can all relate to. The fear of failure, the fear of rejection. The fear of missing out, which sometimes is a good thing and sometimes it leads to discontentment and negativity. The fear of change, fear of losing control, fear of being judged, something bad happening, the fear of getting hurt. And I want you to think about these things because I want us to dream again today. I want you to go and dig up that dream that you had that maybe died or maybe something that you've never allowed yourself to dream about because people have put you in a box, or you've put yourself in a box, or circumstances have just happened, life has happened, and this dream is just being put on the shelf, and you keep it there. You know, I don't know how many of you know Lisa Bevere, wife of John Bevere, well-known author, speaker. There were two things at school that frightened her above anything else, speech and typing. So most of us are afraid of public speaking. I was as well. So just me standing here today is a miracle in itself. But typing was very difficult for her, and she pleaded with her guidance counselor to be exempt from these classes. But it was necessary to graduate, but still, she pleaded to be exempt. And the reason why typing was difficult for her is she lost her one eye due to cancer when she was 5 years old. I know how many of you know this. So she lost all sense of spatial awareness. So typing for her was very difficult. But if you look at her life today, God is using her in the exact two things that frightened her above anything else. She's writing books, so she needs to type. And she's speaking. She's traveling all over the world. So those two things, those two major fears, God has turned around into a strength. He's turning it around into something beautiful. And I really believe this is what God wants to do today. So if you can overcome your greatest fear, how would you live differently? Think about it. If you can overcome your greatest fear, how would you live differently? So I want to take you to one portion of scripture. I'm going to unpack this for you a little bit. Jeremiah 1. Verse 4 to 9 that says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." It's beautiful. "Before you were born, I sanctify you and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. And then said I," this is Jeremiah, "Oh Lord God, behold, I cannot speak for I am a youth." How many of us have said this? I cannot speak. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am a youth. For you shall go to all whom I sent you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. And then the Lord put forth his hand, and he touched my mouth, and he said to me, behold, I've put my words in your mouth. It's amazing. This is powerful. So I want to highlight three things in this passage, share a few of my stories, and I trust that this is going to transform your thinking about who you are. First one, verse 7, do not say, I am a youth. We need to stop voicing our disqualifications. We need to stop saying, I can't, or I will never, or we need to stop saying those things. You know, for some of us, it is our youth. For some of us, it's our background, our education, or lack of education, or finances, or our culture, or our confidence, or lack of confidence, or self-esteem. This may be something that you feel, this is disqualifying me from what God wants me to do, or disqualifying me from dreaming, or disqualifying me from stepping out. And I really feel God says this morning, stop voicing your disqualification. As I said, speaking English for me is a major battle. I grew up in a very Afrikaans town. I knew no English person around. You know, there wasn't, they didn't exist in that town. I wasn't big on movies, so I didn't even learn American English, okay? I didn't even get that. And I literally cried many Sunday evenings in grade 1 to 3 because I was worried I must speak English. It was a very Afrikaans town. I mean, the teacher probably couldn't speak English herself, but now I was crying as a little girl. She's going to make me speak English. I remember those words on the wall, like A for apple, you know. I remember just apple. I can do apple. I was very confident I could do apple, but for the rest, I was terrified. And through all my school career, I was battling. And I didn't battle with any other subject, but for English, second language, I could not master at all. So I said to God, Lord, I have a serious problem. I need help. So I prayed that God must give me a roommate in my first year at university. I said, God, please give me an English roommate. So guess what? There were 6 girls in our hostel, in our first year group, who were English speaking, and I got one of them. She was German, but she was fluent in English. So obviously God agreed, Sonika needs help, and he gave me this person. I said, Justine, I need your help. I am desperate. And I humbled myself, and they literally laughed at me all the time. They corrected me all the time, but I just said, do what you need to do. Correct me as many times as you need to, but I need to overcome this fear, and I need to overcome this, and I just knew it's something I need to overcome. And slowly but surely, my fear disappeared. But I had to stop voicing that disqualification. I had to stop looking at that and say, God, what are we going to do about this? You know, and maybe you think, Sonika, you actually still need help. But if you heard me 25 years ago, you'll be very proud of me today. You'll think, wow, she's made tremendous progress. So I want to read to you just a few things just to get your thinking. You know, what is the thing that keeping you from dreaming big, from stepping out, from risking? You know, Henry Ford failed and he went broke 5 times before he succeeded. Henry Ford, 5 times he went broke. You know, we don't know these stories. We just know success stories often from famous people. Best-selling author Max Licardo had his first book rejected by 14 publishers, 1-4. Before finding one that was willing to give him a chance. What if he gave up by the 13th publisher? What if he stopped? What if he decided, surely writing is not my thing? Walt Disney, listen to this one. Walt Disney was fired from a newspaper because he lacked ideas. And later he went bankrupt several times before he built Disneyland. Upon his election as U.S. president, Abraham Lincoln was called a baboon by the newspaper. And the paper went on to say that American people would be better off if he were assassinated. That's very kind, the newspaper. all of these people somehow persevered through these challenges and through these kind of oppositions and things that were coming against them. And I want to encourage you today, do not say, I am a youth. Do not say, I can't speak. Do not say, I don't have the skill set or the qualification, or my culture keeps me from doing this, or my background, or my parents, or my children, or whatever. If there's a call of God upon your life, if there's a dream, let's start dreaming again. Amen? Do not be afraid. Verse 8. So God said to him, first of all, do not say, I am a youth. So stop voicing your disqualification. Secondly, do not be afraid. That's verse 8. You know, after we moved to East London, Andre did his first international mission trip in 2013. He went to India. My son was very small at that stage. And I was very, very afraid to go with him. And in 2015, God started challenging me again to join Andre on mission trips. Now, the two major things that kept me from going with him was two things I battled with. One was motion sickness. So in the past, praise God, I've been on a beautiful journey in terms of motion sickness, but I have gotten sick on a plane so many times. I use that little bag, and the people next to me is very uncomfortable, and it's just a disaster. And the other thing I battled with is sleep. I went into a really bad season of insomnia after my son was born for about 3 years. And after that, God slowly started delivering me. I'm sleeping well at this stage, which is a massive breakthrough for me. But I pictured myself going with Andre on missions. Now, you must know my husband. He's a world changer. And he is focused. And I pictured myself going on this mission trip with him, and I get sick on the plane, I'm not sleeping, and I'm pathetic. You know, I'm this pathetic wife, and my husband wants to change the world, and I'm pathetic. You know, so I just like, God, let him do it. I'm staying at home, and I had my son as an excuse because Vian was very small at that stage. But in 2015, God challenged me to go again, to risk it, to stop being afraid and to go. So God gave me the scripture in Psalm 23, verse 5, after I decided to join Andre on a mission trip to Brazil, end of 2015. And I did it by faith, but I knew God was challenging me. Sonika, get over this fear. You must get over this fear. And God gave me Psalm 23, verse 5, that says, He will prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. And God said to me, Sonika, motion sickness and insomnia are your enemies. But I am going to prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. So what God said to me through this is, even if I don't sleep, and even if I get sick on the plane, He's going to prepare a table before me in the presence of those things. So it's not as if God guaranteed me that it's not going to happen. He said to me, even if it does happen, He's going to be with me. It's going to be, you know, a table speaks of fun. It speaks of fellowship. It speaks of joy. You know, a table where there's food and fellowship, it speaks of a safe place. And God just said to me, it's going to be okay. And that word removed the fear. And praise God, I did it. It wasn't without challenges. But I had 6 flights, 3 to Rio de Janeiro and back without getting sick. And I slept much better than I anticipated. And God just showed Himself strong to me. So there's a photo I want to show you of the team. This is, it's not so clear. This is a photo of the team on Sugarloaf Mountain. It's beautiful. It was as hot as anything. I said to myself, I'm never going to complain about heat ever again after being in Rio. But it was incredible. But I had to face my fears. And I was terrified of many things. And God just said to me, Sonika, for where I'm taking you, you need to face these things. You cannot hide forever. And I wanted to hide. And God just said to me, enough. Well, you need to get over your fears. Verse 9 says, then the Lord put forth his hand and he touched my mouth. And he said to me, behold, I've put my words in your mouth. So I believe if we want to fulfill the dreams and the call that God has for us, we need to allow the Lord to touch our mouths. We need to allow him to touch our hearts and to touch our hands. I believe we must allow him to put his words in our mouths and his dreams in our hearts. We must allow him to bless the work of our hands. We must ask him to do it. We must come to a point where we say, God, it's not about me. It is really not about me anymore. So what is in your hands today? I want to ask you, what do you have in your hands? You remember God asked Moses, what do you have in your hands? You know, when Moses was also, oh, I can't speak. And, you know, God chose him to deliver the Israelites from slavery. And he had all kinds of things, you know. No, Lord, I can't, you know, and I can't speak. And God said to him, what do you have in your hands? And he said, a rod. And it was an ordinary thing. It wasn't even any kind of education or any kind of spectacular thing. It was something ordinary. And God used a rod, a stock, to perform miraculous things. It was something that Moses had in his hand. He didn't have to buy it or seek for it or look for it or work for it. He had it in his hands. And I really believe all of us have something in our hands that God wants to multiply, wants to use, he wants to transform. We all know that miracle in the Bible where Jesus, where the people were hungry, and his disciples came to Jesus and said, these people are hungry. What are we going to do? You know, and Jesus said to them, Matthew 14, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. And then they said to him, you know, I can just imagine their faces. We only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And remember what Jesus said? He said, bring it. Bring it. That's enough. And in our opinion and in our mind, that's not nearly enough. But Jesus said, that's enough. Whatever you have, just bring it. You know, it was enough. The 5 loaves and 2 fish, those were enough for Jesus to do a miracle. So my question to you is, do you have 5% faith? Ask God to multiply it. Do you have a small dream? Ask God to make it bigger. Do you have, there's just so many things in us that is, in our opinion, it's too small. But God says, bring it. You know, bring it. I really believe, you know, this, if we can mix what we have with 2 things, God can work with it. If we can look away from what we don't have and look to what we have and mix it with faith and faithfulness, God can do anything. There's no limit. There's no limitations. Faith and faithfulness. So what do you have in your hands? Maybe you have a skill set. Maybe you have time. Maybe you have a passion. Maybe you have property. Maybe you have money. Maybe you have a guitar. And you haven't played in 5 years, but you did play sometime. And maybe you must just pick it up and start practicing again. Maybe you have a connection. Maybe you have a love for people. What do you have? What do you have in your hands? Because whatever God has given us in the natural, he can use it to bring glory to his name. If we bring it, if we bring our 5 loaves and 2 fish, God can do something spectacular. It's not us, it's him. But we need to bring what we have. We need to bring what we have. Remember, God could have done that miracle with 1 fish and 1 piece of bread. Why did he ask for everything? Isn't that interesting? He said, bring it all. He didn't say, bring me one fish and 1 bread. He said, bring it. Bring what you have. God could have done the miracle with a portion of what they had, but he said, bring it all. And this is all that we need to do. We need to boldly and confidently bring everything we have and say, God, multiply it. So I want to share with you just a few dreams in my life. And I pray that God will awaken dreams in you or remind you of dreams or stir things in your heart. I wanted to work with my husband. As weird as that might sound for some of you, even before I knew him, there was something in me that said, one day, I want to work with my husband. I would have done anything with him. You know, I would have run a business. I would have done anything. I just had this thing in me. I want to do something together. So we moved to East London, and then for the first time, I actually worked at an auditing firm for 11 years. And only when we moved to East London, that was a very scary decision, but only then God opened a door for me to join him. So that step in faith and that scary decision led to the fulfillment of my dream. And you know, so it took basically a year for the church to grow to a place where we realized the church can afford another person to be employed. And I made my sums and I looked at the finances and I realized there's a huge financial implication for us as a family. But I just jumped at the opportunity. I realized this is the opportune time for me to do it, you know. And while I was waiting for 11 years to join him. And I had, in those 11 years, had to apply faith and faithfulness. Because sometimes we have a dream and we think, one day I can do this, but now I can't. And I just said, Lord, I can't work full-time for the church, but I'm going to apply faith and faithfulness. So my life consisted of my work and church. So evenings and weekends, that was my time for church, and I embraced it for a long time before I could do it full-time. And I just realized that sometimes we think one day we're going to do what God calls us to do. What about today? What do you have in your hands today that you can use to glorify his name? I had a passion for God's house. That was what I had in my hands. And I said, God, I'm not full-time, but I'm going to, with all of my heart, every little spare time that I have, I'm going to pour it into your church to partner with what you're doing, to partner with wherever we are. And it was glorious and it was beautiful. And church is messy. Amen? Church is like a family. Where do you find a perfect family? But if you pour out your life in a community of believers, God opens your eyes for the beauty. And the messiness becomes very much in the background because you see the beauty of God's people and his church. And this is what I embraced for 11 years before I joined my husband. And it's been an incredible journey. Another dream I had is the book I wrote, which wasn't even my dream. I was like, I'm never writing books. You know, it was not on my radar at all. So my husband, forever challenging me, sometimes intimidating the life out of me, now say, Sonika, you must write a book. And then he will almost start proclaiming to the church that Sonika is writing a book. I'm like, I'm not writing a book. I've only written maybe 5 pages. No, she's writing a book. And then I realize, this man's got me in a corner. I need to know somehow, you know, write something. And I am an accountant who loves Jesus. And then I can play the piano. I'm not an author. I'm not, or let me rather say, I wasn't an author. God, I've learned so much. If I can write a book, all of you can write a book. You know, and I just happen to have stories, many stories, like all of you have. You know, I just happened to have stories, and I started in 2016, poured my life into the draft, this book, for 6 months, and I begged my husband to read through it, to just give me his opinion. And when he started reading, I could clearly see that this man is not, he honestly didn't want to hurt my feelings, but I could see that this is not good enough. So now, I don't know what to do. So I left it for a year. 2017, I did nothing, absolutely nothing, because I was stuck in my inability to complete this project. And in the meantime, even though my husband initiated this thing, I felt the Holy Spirit starting to speak to me. Sonika, you need to finish this. And I did not know how. So beginning last year, God just said to me, Sonika, please just get over yourself. Look away from your inability. Stop voicing your disqualification and trust me. Bring what you have. So I had a draft. That's all I had. I had stories. And God showed me 2 very good friends in church help me to edit, to improve the book. And even Easter weekend, my husband's away every Easter weekend for the last how many years, because that's missions time. I think it's family time, by the way, but my husband thinks Easter is a perfect time for missions. And now last year, he's at home for Easter. What a pleasure. It was so awesome. But now I nagged him. I said, you must please read through my new draft, okay? You must please read through this, please read through this. So I was on his case. Eventually he did. Gave me a lot of good input. I gave it to two friends. It is just incredible. I realized, again, dreams are not self-made. This is why community is so beautiful. This is why church is so beautiful. The chance that you will fulfill your dream all alone by yourself is very rare. We need people. We need other people's expertise. But maybe you have something to bring. God added people to me to help me to complete this project. Even just, you know, people like Yolandi. You know, I said to Andrea, I planned a school concert with this book. My best possible school concert, for those of you who can relate. But I didn't have money for lights and cameras. And I didn't even think about lights and cameras. It was just my best school concert. And people in East London will read it, and our designer will make one slide just to say, okay, eventually Sonika has now finished this thing. And then, yeah, Yolandi and people at Shelfer Support Center, it's just incredible how they just helped me to make the most beautiful marketing. Yeah, and I just want to honor them. It was a 100% team effort. And today, every testimony coming from this dream, it's not only mine, but it's shared by so many people. So I just want to encourage you. There's people around you who can partner with you. There's people around you that you should partner with. You should bring your gifts to help them fulfill their call, their passion, their desire, their dream. You know, another a dream that I had and have is just I'm constantly praying for the salvation of my son's friends and his teachers and the parents in his class. So he's been at this school where he's now for 6 years. And for 6 years now, Andre calls me an undercover evangelist. I'm very undercover, but I'm very strategic. And I use every opportunity I can find. But even Vian's birthday parties have become this undercover evangelistic outreach. You know, we pray for the people we invite, and we try to make it as spectacular as possible, and we have it at church. And then there's some boys saying to their mom, please, mommy, can we come to this church? Because they just like the party. But in any case, I just have a heart for people who are down and out, and I believe in our product, and his name is Jesus, with all respect. You know, we have something to give to this world, but we need to believe in that, and we need to dream again about inviting somebody to church. If you haven't invited somebody to church in the last year, it's time to start doing that again. It's time to connect with somebody at school, somebody at work. It's time to dream again about a church that is beautiful and powerful, and that people out there, no matter how much money they have, no matter how successful they are, they need Jesus. They will never be fulfilled, never be happy without Jesus, you know. And we do our youth from grade 5. So Vian started going, our son started going at the beginning of this year. So I worked for 6 years to get his friends to youth, because that's for me is a bridge now to church, to invite the parents. And there's about 42 kids in his grade, his very small school, but 12 of them have visited in the first 3 months of this year, and most of them are coming back. 8 of them are not in our church, and they thoroughly enjoy it. And I just realize, you know, what is in my hands? I have a son. He's 10 years old. He's at a school. What do I have? I have opportunities to connect with people. I have opportunities to connect with teachers, with parents, with kids. You know, if the parents aren't interested, I just invite the kids. Say, hey, we have youth on Friday. Just tell your mom you want to come. You know, I use any and every opportunity, and God is beautifully blessing it. But I had to apply faith and faithfulness. It's been a 6-year journey for me. It's now only starting to, you know, to show fruit. And I say to God, by the time he's grade 7, You know, there must be a revival in the school. And I have, what is grade 5 now? So I have 2.5 years left. And I am, it's beautiful. Kuba and Hanneke, part of my team, we're praying weekly at the school. And God is just adding many things to our wish list and to it's just adding so many people who can partner with me and with Kuba, because she's a prayer warrior. And, you know, I just realize it's so important to look away from what you don't have and look to what you have and say, God, how can we leverage this for your kingdom? And with whom can I partner? Where can I add my strength for other people to see the kingdom come and see their dreams coming fulfilled? Amen. So I want to encourage you today, let's look away from our weaknesses. Let's look away from what we don't have. Let's stop voicing our disqualification. Allow the Lord to touch your mouth, to put a dream in your heart, to touch your hands. Allow God to do something in you that you did not think is possible. And if you need help, ask him, who are the people I need to partner with? If you feel alone at work, ask him for one person that you can pray with. One person that you can pray with on a weekly basis. Partner with people. Do whatever it takes to take your little bit, to put it together with anybody else that's like-minded, and you will see dreams coming fulfilled. You will see the kingdom come. You will see lives change, and you will come alive. You will truly come alive. You know, what is God calling you to do? What is he calling you to do? Let's not bury our dreams. Let's not put it on the shelf. Let's not make excuses. Let's not walk away because of fear. Let's run with what we have and bring what you have. You are perfect for God's plan for your life. But you need to take a step and start walking in a direction of what God calls you to do. Amen. I want to end with a word I have for you as a church. So Heinrich, if you'll allow me just to share that, and then we want to pray for people. When I prayed for Shava Sunset West, I really feel that you are a group of people with a huge capacity for God's kingdom. And maybe you don't feel as if you have the capacity in your life currently, but I feel there is tremendous capacity in this room and in this house. And I feel that there's an anointing that God wants to unlock. I feel that God has anointed you to connect with people in high places. That there's some of you, you are connected with people in high places, and you are the door or the answer to Jesus connecting with them. You are that connecting point. And I feel that God wants to anoint you to bring in the harvest. I feel there's an evangelistic anointing upon this church, and I feel that God wants to stir your heart again for the lost, for the down and out, to look right through people's masks and their money and their degrees and their occupations, and realize that they are broken and they need Jesus, and that he will give you a compassion for people who do not know him. I also felt that some of you had a dream for God's house. You had a passion for the house of God, but that dream has died for various reasons. I feel that you were, you know, like a little girl going to the zoo, excited about the church and God's house, but for various reasons, that dream has died. And I feel God says, dream again. Dream again about God's kingdom. Dream again about the impossible. Dream again about the lost being saved. Dream again about a church that is beautiful and powerful. Dream again about unity. Dream again about an army, you know, taking land for Jesus. Dream again about God's kingdom. I feel that is your key to be truly alive. And I know that many of you have a lot on your plate, and there's kids and there's commitments and there's jobs and there's pressure, but I feel that you will truly come alive if you are going to dream again about God's house and his kingdom. And I feel for many of you, it was there. You have experienced that, walking in that dream But I feel God wants to stir it again. He wants to bring it alive again. He wants to awaken you again to dream about the impossible, to dream about miracles, to dream about hearts united, like a unity that can move mountains. And I really feel that there is a huge capacity in this room for God's kingdom, and he wants to unlock it, and he wants to unite you, and he wants you to be as one army taking land for Jesus. Amen. So if the worship team can maybe join me, and if you guys can stand. If you can just all close your eyes, let's just give one another a bit of just privacy. Father, I thank you for your presence and your goodness, Lord. Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you'll come like a wind, you'll come like a wave, and that you will start awakening dreams, that you'll start awakening desires, that you'll start awakening your heart in us in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father, for your words, your dreams, your hearts, just to be awakened in us right now in the name of Jesus. Let it be, Lord, your perfect, perfect plan for this church. Lord, I speak a blessing of a shepherd. Someone said, where's Lord? I thank you for the purposes and your plans that you have for this church, for individuals to connect, for individuals to unite, for individuals to awake, to come alive. So, Father, I just speak to every dry bone and every dead dream and everything that's been put on the shelf for a while, for whatever reason, Lord. And we just say, come alive in Jesus' name. Come alive. Come alive. We speak life to every dry bone. We speak life to every fear. We speak life to every obstacle that is coming against your purposes and your plans. Lord, we just come against that and we speak life to your word, your plans and your purposes in the name of Jesus. Let it be, Lord, life. Life in abundance in the name of Jesus. I want to ask, as every eye is closed, is there anybody here this morning? You do not know Jesus. You do not know the reality of speaking to him on a daily basis, of having him as your comforter, as your healer, as your intercessor, as your savior, as your best friend. You do not know him personally. Maybe your life is full of the things of God, but Jesus himself is not a reality in your life. I would love to pray with you. If there's anybody you want to surrender your life to Jesus this morning, you've never done it before, or maybe you've done it a long time ago, but there's been a long season in your life where you have not been following God. Is there anybody, if you can just quickly raise your hand, I would love to pray with you. Anyone like that? Just quickly raise your hand. If there's someone like this, you are the most important person in this house today. And this is the most important moment of this day. Anybody, you want to surrender your life to Jesus, or you want to recommit your life to God? Anyone, just quickly raise your hand high that I can see it. No one. Which means you need to invite people to church who do not know Jesus. Amen. So that when Heinrich does an altar call next week or whoever, that there's a hand. We need to invite people to church who do not know him, because this is our life's call to see people come to know God. So if all of us know Jesus, we should trust him for a burning desire for others to come. Amen. So next time, there must be people here who do not know Jesus. Okay, there's just a few other words I want to call out, and then we're going to pray for you guys. You don't have to raise your hand. I'm going to call out everything, and then right at the end, you can respond. I really sense that there's some of you, you experience intimidation and fear in a huge way. You know that God calls you for something, but there's an intimidation, a fear, a resistance that is keeping you from doing that. I feel that there's some of you, you constantly compare yourself to others. So you just feel inadequate. You feel even if you contribute something, it's not going to make a difference, because you can't do it like that person. It's comparison. The devil is putting that lie in your heart, and you're consumed with, I can't do it like anybody else. Then I feel there's people here, you've been disappointed by other people. Not only disappointed, but offended greatly. So you have backed off from certain things that God calls you to do to protect yourself. So there's maybe even, especially in church, you got hurt, and you're not pursuing God's call on your life anymore because you are protecting yourself, because you just tell yourself you can't go through that kind of hurt again. You need to risk it again. You need to make yourself vulnerable again. I also felt that there's some of you, especially maybe through all the changes in Shofar in the last couple of years, you are disillusioned with church. And maybe even with church leaders, you are terrified of trusting again. You are terrified of just opening your heart again and making yourself vulnerable again. I feel that there's some of you, you have forsaken your first love. You have forsaken your first love. So you are pursuing dreams that will never fulfill you. You are chasing after dreams that it's not necessarily bad dreams, but it's never going to bring you alive. And I feel that God is calling you back to Him, to doing the first works which you did at first. There's some of you have tried and you have failed, and there's this fear of failure, and God wants to set you free of that today. Some of you are terrified of change, so you just stay where you are because you are terrified of making changes in your life because you do not know what the implication would be. And then there's some of you who are scared to dream about the impossible. You are scared to pray for somebody who is sick because what if nothing happens? You are scared to believe God for something that is naturally impossible because what if you look like a fool? You are scared to step out. And I feel God says He wants to give you courage. He wants to give you, He wants to make you brave. He wants to make you realize that this is not you. It's got nothing to do with you. It is just, you are just a vessel. God wants to awaken your hearts today. So if I can ask you to be bold, and I know it's scary to come to the front, but I want to ask you to be bold today. If any of these words apply to you, we would love to pray with you. These girls who come with me, I need men as well who can pray, please. They are going to speak words over your life that's going to change your life forever. So if I can ask you to put your brave hat on, okay? Courageous hat. If any of these words apply to you, if you can please join me in front, we would love to pray with you. Okay, we're going to wait for you. Because I know, I really believe there's a lot of people that we need to trust God for to set free. Okay. So as we worship, let's just give God an opportunity to work. Okay. We are waiting for you guys, okay? So the floor is open. You can come any moment. Let's trust the Lord to do something special this morning, okay? Father, we just break the power of fear. We come against shame. We come against any feeling of guilt, any feeling, Lord, that people will notice or people will have a certain perception when we respond. God, we just speak a courage right now in the name of Jesus, that we will not submit to the fear of man, but we will respond boldly and confidently. Because today is the day of salvation, and today is the day that God wants to do something powerfully. So, Father, I just pray for a responsiveness, a boldness, and a confidence in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.